Well, you're probably busy at work, or maybe you're busy with school or with family, and I know it can be hard to fit in regular exercise, but you know what? It's important to keep moving. Larry Mueller here. Again, thank you for joining us today, and we're lucky to have Ann Schwartz with us from the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. She's a professor in the Department of Kinesiology at the UW-Milwaukee, and she joins us today from our Milwaukee studios. And Ann, thank you so much for taking time to be with us.
Well, good morning, Larry. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you as well. And, you know, here we are just a few days into the new year, and I'm sure there were a lot of New Year's resolutions to get going on exercising, and some of those have probably already been broken.
Well, let's hope not.
Let's hope not. You know, what's the biggest reason people lose motivation in something like this? I think, you know, many people want more exercise, but then it's hard to stay motivated for some people.
Yeah, it is. It very much is. You know, unfortunately, about 3/4 of those people who develop a fitness-related New Year's resolution do not necessarily stick with it, which is unfortunate. A lot of times, the main reasons are that people either aren't enjoying what they've chosen to do, or maybe they aren't seeing their results fast enough. And, you know, they want to see some sort of change, and they're not seeing what they want to see. And so then they give up, and they either turn to something else or go back to what they were doing before.
And that's kind of too bad in so many ways. There are a lot of ways to stay motivated, though, aren't there?
There are. And one of the best things that you can do is set up what we call SMART goals for yourself. And so SMART goals are goals that are specific. So you tell yourself you set up how often you want to do your exercise, what specific exercise you want to do, maybe where that will take place, what time of day it'll take place. SMART goals, the M stands for measurable. You want to make sure that goal is something that you can assess. And so maybe that goal is something, every time I'm on here, I always end up talking about pedometers because I love pedometers. But maybe it's that you want to take an extra 2,000 steps in a day. And you can easily measure that using something like a pedometer. In the SMART goals, A is for attainable. You have to make sure that goal is something that you can actually achieve. So for me, becoming an Olympic athlete is probably not something that I'm going to be able to do this year. But you know, if I choose to maybe do a half marathon, that might be something that I could probably do. In the SMART, the R stands for realistic. Is your goal and time frame realistic based on what you want to do? And so you just need to make sure that you're not setting yourself up for failure. It needs to be something that you can achieve and that you give yourself enough time to be able to achieve that goal. And then the T stands for timely. And that gets back to that time frame that you're giving yourself enough time to achieve the goal that you want to achieve.
So that's SMART.
SMART, yes. Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
As you were going through those, I was thinking about an app that I have, and I may have mentioned this to you before. It's Map My Run.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I like it a lot because there are always challenges. There are sort of events now, like at the start of the year, it says one company is kind of sponsoring a 1,000 kilometers.
I saw that. Yes.
So I'm signed up for that. That's actually be a pretty easy one for me.
You bring up a really, there's a lot of apps out there and there's a lot of wearable technology. And that's the number one trend for 2016 in terms of fitness trends, wearable technology and apps. And there are a lot of good apps out there. And Map My Run is one of them. Map My Walk is very similar to that. And you can not only add in the fitness aspect of it, but then you can also track your nutritional goals along with it. And when we talk about becoming more healthy, we need to talk about not only the exercise part of it, which is what we're talking about today, but also the nutritional aspects of it.
talking with Ann Schwartz today, and I'll give you a chance to join in. I haven't given the number yet, so let me do it right now. How often do you work out, and how often maybe do you change up your workout? Do you have some techniques that you would share with us? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or go ahead and post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and we'd certainly love to hear from you again. 1-800-642-1234. Give a call with your questions or comments. I was just thinking today, Matt, my run was probably, that was not really what happened this morning, because there are sidewalks that are still icy, and it turned into more Matt, my walk. Than Matt, my run. But you know what? Even 3 miles of walking can be pretty good.
And oh, that's mostly absolutely. What I did. Yeah, 3 miles of walking is a great achievement for the day. We generally recommend that people do around at least 150 minutes of moderate intensity activity on a weekly basis. And doing 3 miles 3-4 days a week is going to get you there, because you'll be able to, if you walk for 3 miles, that'll take you about an hour to walk at a moderate intensity. And so that's a great activity to do, walking, running, enjoying the snow. At other parts of the state, they must have a little bit nicer fluffy snow than we do in Milwaukee. It's a little crusty and icy here, but getting out and enjoying the snow with cross-country skiing and snowshoeing, all are wonderful opportunities that we have to be active outside in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. I try to do 6 days a week.
That's great. That's better than I do.
I do 6 days. Well, the timing of it for me, because I get up at 5:15 in the morning.
Oh, wow. So an early bird.
I get up because that's the only time I can really do it.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
So I'm used to that. So I get up and do, and, you know, 5:15. And by the time I get rolling, it's about 5:30 and back around, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and I think you're bringing up a really good point, because it's important for people to realize that they have to, when they're setting their goals and their resolutions for the new year, they have to figure out what works for them. And so if you are an early morning person, or if that's the time where you know that you're not going to be disrupted and nothing's going to come up and nothing's going to come in the way of achieving that exercise goal, then that's a great time for you to do that. But if you're not an early morning person and you don't enjoy getting up early, then that's probably not the best time to exercise. So you really have to find out and think about what works for you, and then apply that to your exercise goals. Don't try and do something that you don't enjoy, because then the likelihood of not sticking with your resolution is higher. So you have to try and find something that you enjoy and at a time of the day that you enjoy it.
And that's the reason I've been able to do so many times during the week, because I'm usually awake anyway, so why not just get up and go?
Right.
Doug in Lancaster has a comment for us. Doug, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I called a while back when we were discussing fitness as well. Back in September, I set a personal goal. I started at 344 pounds. My goal is to lose 120 pounds within 18 months. You talk about setting realistic goals. I mentioned resetting goals and refocusing goals with health as well. I've been fortunate enough to work with a personal trainer here in Lancaster. As a matter of fact, I just came home from the gym here. And overall, you know, my initial goal was weight loss, which absolutely needs to be done. But through working out with this young man, my goals have changed: cardiovascular endurance, strength training, and also measurements with regards to health. I tried this 4 years ago, just focusing on that weight. And coming off the holidays, I just gained 5 pounds here. But this morning, I also leg pressed 840 pounds for 20 reps, and did not nearly kill myself.
Wow.
If I were focused just on that weight, I'd be incredibly discouraged, and I would have quit a long time ago. But I think having the focus of showing what my body can and can't do, as well as noticing that the clothes are fitting looser and things like that, has really kept me going. And the big question that I have now, of course, is we just come off the holidays. I've been using my MyFitnessPal to track my calories. I've been a little lax on that for the last couple of weeks. But, you know, I gained 5 pounds this last week, as I mentioned. I'm kind of looking for a way to get back into it and get that weight off a little bit quicker. What would be some foods I should trend towards?
Well, and I'm gonna classify this. I'm not a nutritionist, generally it's just getting back into that routine that you had set for yourself so well in the fall, where you had started to achieve those goals. And so it's not necessarily that you want to avoid one particular food or only eat, you know, another food. You want to maybe back off on your portion sizes, as you were probably doing in the fall. And, you know, going back to eating some foods that are healthier, maybe avoiding, you know, we always have so many options for Christmas cookies and, you know, cakes and all these really very wonderfully delicious but not necessarily so healthy foods over the holidays. And so getting back into your habits that you had developed prior to Christmas, where you were choosing healthier foods and smaller portions, is probably going to be your best bet. I do want to say, Doug, that you bring up a really good point about resetting your goals and checking on your goal status, because your goal of losing, I think you said, 120 pounds is a very large goal. And so breaking that up into smaller, more achievable goals, as you have done, and then maybe...
is much better.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
much better. And I want to talk some more about this, and we certainly will. Need to take a quick look at the news, and then we'll be back and talk about this some more. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network today. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us as we take a look at those New Year's fitness goals that maybe you set, maybe you didn't. Let's talk about ways you can reach your goals for fitness with our guest today, Ann Swartz from the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. She's a professor in the Department of Kinesiology at the UW-Milwaukee. Joins us from our Milwaukee studios. And Ann, once again, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to be here with you.
Let's talk, you know, I want to talk some more about our last call, but Mark in Fond du Lac has been waiting a while, so let's go to Mark, and then we'll get back to our other caller. Mark, hi.
Hey, how you guys doing? I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure thing. What's on your mind?
I was wondering if the expert had any recommendations. I know she's not a nutritionist, but on apps for my phone to help track nutrition. I know that there's a lot of apps out there. I know that a lot of them just have garbage information in them. They don't have real good sources of calorie counts and fat and proteins and carbs and things of that nature, because a lot of them are more like social media, where people put in what they think it is. So any advice would be greatly appreciated.
Okay.
Yeah, and again, because I'm not a nutritionist, I'm not as familiar with apps, but I would, if I think about how I would go to find information about fitness or exercise-related apps, I would start with probably the American Dietetics Association. Go to their website and see if they have, because a lot of times these organizations will put out publications on recommended professionally built apps that are out there. They won't necessarily tell you what ones to avoid, but they'll tell you what ones are really good apps to go and use to help you achieve whatever your nutrition-related goals are. So I would check out the American Dietetics Association. Check out their website and see what they have.
Yep.
Sorry, I can't be more help there.
No, that's great. Thank you very much.
Yep, thanks sure. a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Yeah, and there's, you know, with Map My Run, I think there is something called Lose Weight, which is an app that can go along with it and sort of keeps track of what you were doing in Map My Run, and then applies that against food that you have eaten over the course of the day.
Right. And those and entering in, whether it's tracking your exercise or tracking what you've eating, is a really great technique to help you achieve your goals, because having to physically write it down and then review the data and look at maybe how much you've changed or how much you haven't changed is a really good it helps you with your self-reflection in terms of, okay, am I doing what I need to do to be able to achieve those goals of exercising more or eating more vegetables or whatever your goal happens to be?
Let's take another call from John in Lake Halley near Eau Claire. Hi, John.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I just had a quick question. Is I used to run a lot, like 10 miles a day. And I, when I was in the Army, I worked out a lot, so I know how to do the workouts. But unfortunately, my body doesn't work for me anymore. When I run, my knees give out. If I try sit-ups or push-ups, my back or my shoulder. I just need some idea on what I could do to start getting back into shape again.
Right. So it sounds like you probably want to avoid those higher impact activities. So running is a rather high impact activity. Again, not knowing necessarily what your likes and dislikes are, some things that I can think off the top of my head would be swimming. That would be a really great activity. Some people, although it's not there at the top of their list. But another activity that would be similar to running but less of an impact would be using an elliptical trainer. And that would give you a very similar motion to running. It would also give you a very similar intensity and feel. But it wouldn't necessarily be as hard on your knees. And so that might be something that you might want to try. But again, swimming is an excellent activity for your whole body.
Swimming is my favorite, but
okay. Oh, that's great.
There's no pools open that I can get to.
Okay. Yeah. And that's unfortunate. Right. So, and I don't know if you have any availability to a gym, but if you don't, and if you like to spend time outside, then you could also try something like either cross-country skiing or snowshoeing. And those might be activities that you could do around your house, or in a local park. And besides the cost of the skis or the snowshoes, then that activity would be freely accessible to you at any time of the day and be rather inexpensive.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good luck. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call.
Thanks, John.
And you can, you could actually rent equipment I know the fitness clubs, many of the fitness clubs in the Madison area, for example, will offer, if you want to come in for a trial week or something.
Right. Absolutely.
And for free, you can go in and try out that elliptical train, and see how you like it.
Yeah, and a lot of communities open up their pools. The schools, high schools, will open up their pools in the winter season, and then there's a lot of community centers that also will rent equipment for the cost. If you're a member to that, like the Urban Ecology Center here, last year my kids wanted to try cross country skiing, and I didn't want to go out and buy any cross country skis just in case they didn't, enjoy the activity.
Right.
So we went to the Urban Ecology Center, and because we're members there, we were able to rent them at no cost. And so it's doing a quick search online and seeing if you can find what's available in your community that you can use, because there are quite a few resources that are available to help us stay active. But the problem is locating those resources. That can sometimes be really challenging.
Ann Swartz, our guest today from the UW-Milwaukee, where she is in the Department of Kinesiology. Great to have her along as we talk about fitness and fitness goals for this new year. You can join in. Maybe you've got an experience to share, or maybe a question to ask. How often do you work out? Do you try to do something most days? How do you motivate yourself? What's your exercise routine? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or you can post on our Facebook page. Our Facebook page title, The Larry Mueller Show. Jay from Fall River emails that he recently got a job where he stands the whole shift. But that's not really exercise, and he's gaining weight. Are there any kind of exercises he can do well at work without sort of drawing a lot of attention to himself? So is there a way for him? He's standing. He's working. I wish I knew what kind of work he was doing.
Right. And occupational activity has become really a hot topic lately, because most of us, unlike Jay, we sit all day. And so, but even though Jay is standing all day, he's still in one posture. And so he's not necessarily using his muscles and expending energy in that way. And so what I would recommend, and again, because we don't necessarily know what his occupation is, but if he can take little breaks and, you know, walk to the bubbler and get a drink, or, you know, walk to the restroom, or walk and talk to a colleague instead of sending an email, or whatever it happens to be, and even do some little strengthening exercises, such as some calf raises. So, you know, go from standing on your full foot to standing on the front of your foot. So those little activities, little things like that, maybe if he can get a couple squats in, but that might draw a little bit of attention to himself. But little things like that, and it doesn't necessarily have to be that he needs to do activity that exhausts himself, just to get the blood flowing and to contract the muscles. Because when we contract our muscles, that's when we burn calories. And so it can be something as small as just taking a short walk, or something, you know, as strenuous as doing a couple squats. So.
And, you know, again, not knowing the nature of the job, if you're standing anyway and there's bands, like rubber band, not the rubber bands, but the bands we use for fitness.
Absolutely.
If you can have one next to, or even two, next to where you're standing, you can just pull on those
right.
a few times.
Right.
And actually, that adds up over... over the course of a day, if you're doing that a few times every so often, every hour, you can get quite a few reps in over the course of a day.
Absolutely. And then you don't necessarily need to do your resistance training at night, because you've done that throughout the day. Mm-hmm. Another idea is just to do some simple stretches. Because especially if he's keeping his posture the same throughout the day, he can get quite stiff. And so stretching out his shoulders and his neck would probably be a really good idea, and even his back, because a lot of times your lower back gets really tired and a little bit sore if you stand in the same position all for your entire day.
Fred in Wausau up next. Let's go there. Hi, Fred. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I've got the key to the whole thing, I think. It isn't the facilities. I mean, most of us live in communities that have multitudinal gyms and so forth, and YMCAs, et cetera. And cost isn't generally a factor, because some of these places cost $10 a month. The real key is the camaraderie and the socialization. Once you start going, you meet people, you talk, you have fun. And yeah, you know, that's the key. If you don't have fun, you're not going to do it.
Yeah,
I don't think I could have said that any better, Fred.
Yeah, thank you. And it's worked for me. I started this year 2000, did some kickboxing classes at the Y, just continued with that, and I've been hooked ever since, going 4 to 5 times a day and meeting my friends and having a good time.
Wow.
Right.
That's it.
Well... That's a really good point. I have another friend who works out every morning, and you know, has gotten to be friends with all the other people that are, you know, that are working out, or at least a half a dozen of them, and they're all different occupations and so forth, and they've wind up having a couple of get-togethers with their families.
Yeah, I think the friendships that you can form when you do these activities and you have common goals or common interests in play, I think are very deep, long-lasting friendships. And these friends can really help you out. They can help you out when things are going really great, because, you know, they're going to be encouragement for you to be there, but they can also help you out when you're really... maybe not enjoying what you're doing, or you're maybe not seeing the progress that you wanted to see, and you're kind of getting a little bit discouraged and maybe don't want to go back to the gym. That's when those friends can really become very important, because their motivation to be there, they're going to call you up and say, "Hey, Larry, where have you been? I haven't seen you at the gym in a while. Are you coming in? Do I need to come by and pick you up?" So those friends can be really, really important for that. And then I think Fred also hit another major point, is that you really have to, if you're going to stick with this, and that's the important thing, is that when you start your exercise routine or your fitness routine, that you start it and you stick with it, that you're consistent over time, because that's when you're going to start to see the benefits and the changes, is with the consistency of sticking to the program. And you're not going to stick with it unless you enjoy it. And so you need to make sure that whatever activity you choose, it's one that you do enjoy and that you're going to want to keep doing over time.
Thanks again, Fred, for calling. I appreciate it. I want to give Liz a chance to join in from Egg Harbor. Let's go to her. Hi, Liz. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
Great. Appreciate your call. Happy New Year.
Good. Happy New Year to you. My comment was I'm in my 70s now, and I've been teaching since my 20s, so that's a long time of being in the fitness business as a teacher and a personal trainer. And now we've retired and moved to Door County, and I have been teaching yoga at the Northern Door YMCA. So I just really am obviously a firm believer in yoga, and I teach a very beginning yoga class, and there's people in there in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and I even have an 80-year-old couple. And it's amazing how working on your strength, coordination, and flexibility, and how keeping your spine healthy as you get older. It's amazing, even after 2 or 3 months of watching a ranked beginner, how wonderful they can get.
Oh, thanks so much for calling, Liz. And I know, Ann, you have a comment.
Well, I echo what... first of all, I want to say congratulations to her for being so active over her entire life. That's wonderful. That's music to my ears. I love to hear that. But, you know, yoga is a very popular activity, and it's become much more popular over the last, I would say, decade. And it's because of the benefits that Liz is talking about, mm-hmm. because of the stretching and the strength and the balance and the coordination, and combining all of those into this one activity, it really tends to help people, whether it's with back pain, whether it's with preventing falls, whether it's recovering from some sort of injury, working through yoga to help recover, and then to help maintain strength and allow you to continue to do the activities that you want to do on a daily basis. Yoga is a really great activity and a low impact activity.
And the last thing I wanted to talk about is results, and results are motivation. And after you even go to, let's just say someone's starting to walk and they remember how hard it was the first mile that they walked, then all of a sudden they can do more in the same amount of time, and then more and more. Or they're watching their portion control and they lost a little bit of weight, and then a little more, and then a little more, and then they get in yoga and it's like, oh, I remember when I could hardly do a down dog and my arms were shaking and I hated it, and now I love it. So that's where motivation comes in, I think, is when you start to see results, mm-hmm. and your results will change and change and change and change as you stick with it, and you'll get better and better and better and better.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why it's so important when you start any activity routine to take some initial measurements. And maybe it's just something as simple as measuring your waist circumference. Or maybe it's measuring how far down, you know, if you're trying to touch your toes, how far down can you get? And taking those initial measurements, because then in a month or 2 months or 3 months, when you do those measurements again, and you see how much you've progressed and how far you've come, then you can really give yourself a great pat on the back and say, wow, look what I've done. This is amazing. But if you don't do those measurements in the beginning and you don't keep track of that over time, then it's very hard to, you know, see exactly how far you've come.
Yep.
That's wonderful. I agree with both of you. You're doing a great job today. So
thanks, Liz.
Yeah,
well, thank
thanks
you
so much. You're welcome. Happy New Year.
Yeah, and to you as well. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. And it's a little time for you to join in with your question. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Or you could post up on our Facebook page as well at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly always look forward to hearing from you. What about, you know, I get up and do this pretty much the same thing every every single morning. And I'm sure I should be mixing things up a bit, but I haven't.
Well, you know, you can look at it one of two ways. You know, one, you're sticking with what you're doing and you're continuing, you're enjoying it, and you're continuing to do the activities that you do and receive the benefits that you do from that. And so that, yeah, I mean, that you should congratulate yourself for that, Larry. It is good to try different activities and mix it up a little, because otherwise you're consistently moving the same muscles in the same way and you're strengthening those same muscles. And so you could, over time, create an imbalance in your musculature. And so you do want to try and do different things. And, you know, whether it is, you know, you're doing a bicep curl. And there's a number of different ways that we can do bicep curls so that we maybe hit the whole entire bicep. Or maybe it's walking that you do. And so you walk usually on the city streets. Well, maybe on the weekend you could go out and you could hit one of our wonderful Wisconsin parks and do a hike, you know, where you get a little bit of hills and change in elevation in there, because that will then hit your hamstrings a little bit differently than the flat walking. And so it is a good idea to mix it up a little, but you don't want to mix it up so much that then you don't enjoy it and then you're not continuing to do it, because that would be worse.
Would definitely be worse.
Right.
Leslie in Cottage Grove has something for us. Hi, Leslie. Thanks for calling.
Hello. Thank you. I was listening to the advice regarding yoga, and I've just changed from a rather aggressive exercise workout routine to DVDs in my basement, very convenient, to yoga. And I'm wondering if I'm achieving, and I'm in my mid-60s, should I be doing something also that's more weight-bearing and to build your bones, and also more aerobic for my cardiovascular system, or can I just stick with the yoga routine if I'm going several times a week?
Well, and yoga, it's a great activity. It depends on what type of yoga you're doing, and there's a lot of different types. Some are a little bit more focused on stretching and relaxation, and then there are some that are a little bit more focused on holding poses and a little bit more intense in that way. But it is a good idea to add in a little bit of aerobic activity. Because yoga is very much strengthening and stretching. And you do want to have that aerobic activity to get the cardiovascular benefit and then also the metabolic benefit, so the energy expenditure. Because one of the best ways to expend energy is through those large muscle, whole body aerobic activities, such as walking or cycling or things like that. So, you know, it's great that you're doing yoga. If you can, and if you enjoy doing something else, then it's nice to add in another activity to that. In terms of bone health, you want to make sure that you're doing some sort of weight-bearing activity. And so when you're doing yoga, that is a weight-bearing activity. Now, you aren't necessarily doing a high-impact activity, and that's okay. But you're strengthening your muscles around your bones also, which is also very helpful and useful to your bone health.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I appreciate your input.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Roxanne emailed and said she has a routine. She exercises. She does kickboxing. And she makes lists. She makes a list, and she actually puts it into her calendar, you know, her exercise routine and when she's doing it. She has a calendar for it. And probably not a bad idea. And here we are out of time, Ann.
Oh, goodness.
Where
this went so fast.
Yeah, I know. It went too fast. But I like that idea. And I certainly like having you on the show, and I hope you'll come back and be with us again.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
So great to have Ann Swartz with us, associate professor in the Department of Kinesiology at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, joins us from our Milwaukee studios. And maybe we'll have to have her on longer the next time around. It's always a lot of fun to have her with us. Well, you know what? Tomorrow's a Wednesday, and that means wildlife, and we'll be talking about Wisconsin wildlife, getting an update on what's going on in the Wisconsin wildlife scene. So, in the meantime, thank you so much for listening, and please stay with us. Lots more in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.